Well, we come into this world, dead in sin. We're sinners, we've fallen short of God's glory, we're spiritually dead. How can we know the things of God? I mean, how can we understand even the message of salvation? Well, the truth, the bottom line, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, John 16 says, convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed. And the whole idea there is the Holy Spirit convicts people so that they will believe, or that they will understand and believe in Jesus Christ. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as far as an unbeliever is concerned, enables that person to understand who Jesus is and how he died on the cross and paid for sin, and that trusting in him will give eternal life. So we realize unbelievers aren't able in themselves without the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be able to come to know Christ as Savior. We also realize that the Holy Spirit not only has a ministry to the unbeliever to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but the Holy Spirit has a ministry to the believer to help us as we continue to grow, as we understand spiritual truths, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, illuminating the Scripture and helping us to put it together. Well, tonight, as we study this little section, verses 10, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 16, we're going to see that as we talk about what the Holy Spirit's ministry to both the believer and the unbeliever. And we'll see how that ties together. The focus and what we've seen over and over is the natural man, the unbeliever, man's wisdom can't know God. But the spiritual man, the believer, with God's wisdom, can know the things of God because they're revealed by the Holy Spirit. So there's some great things there. In fact, let's just make it very simple. We understand this. Without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, nobody would ever come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, because he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, helps them understand who Jesus is. Then without the Holy Spirit, we'd never be able to understand the Scripture. We'd never be able to grow. We'd never be able to understand the things of God, because the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture. The Holy Spirit actually gives us the Scripture. We'll talk more about that, and helps reveal. And so there's some great things there that we'll see. Now, as we begin, let me remind you of where we are. In this chapter 2, he's been talking about and showing this contrast between unbelievers and believers. And he even says this. He talks about the unbelievers. He said they can't know the things of God. They don't know the things of this world. In fact, in verse 6, he says the wisdom that we speak, he says, the wisdom I'm talking about is not of this age, because the rulers of this world don't understand it. In fact, he even says in verse 8 that this wisdom, the rulers of this world did not understand it. And it's true. And then he gets to verse 9. This is where we just touched on this last week. But what he's saying is this. Notice verse 9. He quotes an Old Testament passage, Isaiah 64, and says, just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I've got an overhead that says that the truths of God's word are not things that you can see with your eyes, not things that a person can hear with their ears, not that a person's going to be able to figure out. It's not through the eyes. It's not through what is heard. It's not through the heart and mind what God has prepared. Because what we're saying is the natural person can't know the things of God, not by what he thinks he can see, what can hear, or what he even can imagine in his own mind. It cannot be discovered. It can be disclosed. It can be revealed. So he says, those things which the eye has not seen, that the ear has not heard, which has not entered into the heart of man, God has prepared for those who love him. Well, here's the bottom line. Natural man can't know things. You can't say to the natural guy, if you'll just look at this, if you'll just think about it, you'll grasp it, because they can't grasp it. So then how do we grasp it? How does a person know it? Well, it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 10. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. The them is, he says, revealed what? These truths, these things about God, he has revealed them through the Spirit. So the thing that I want you to see, and here's the contrast, and we'll get it together. He's saying that an unbelieving person, just a regular person coming into this world, dead in trespasses and sins, they can't know the things of God. And they can't know it by trying to see it or hear it or even think about it. The only way a person can know the things of God is they are revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say this to you. As an unbeliever, you were going through life, and the Bible says you like sheep had gone astray, each one your own way. There was none righteous, no, not one. There was not one seeking after God. And so you were going through life, and then sometime in your life you begin to think about God. And you begin to hear truth about God. And then you even understood and said, I'm going to believe in Jesus as my Savior. Why did that happen? It's because the ministry of the Holy Spirit was convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because you had not believed. Righteousness because you had to be righteous to be with the Father. And judgment because the prince of the world has been judged. There's a judgment coming. That's what the Holy Spirit did. So technically, as you went through life, if the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, you would have never believed. Because in your fallen state, you can't understand the things of God. That's all he's trying to say. Now he says in verse 10, but to us, or to us, God has revealed him through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit, two key areas that the Holy Spirit makes known to man. Number one, as the unbeliever, he makes known to the unbeliever the truths about salvation and the cross so that a person can believe in Jesus. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does as a believer, what he does is he helps us to understand the scripture so we can know it applied and we can grow. Now, there are three words, there are three things that stand out in these few verses. And here are the words. They're the words revelation, illumination, inspiration. Not all those words are there, but what these words mean are found there. Let me show you. Look at the next slide. Verse 10, notice what he says. He says, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. That revealing is revelation. That's where he makes himself known. That's where he makes his truths known. Then down in verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. To know something, that's the illumination of the Holy Spirit as he helps us to know and understand. And then finally in verse 13, he says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those words taught by the Spirit. That's called inspiration, where God gives us his truth in words, which is the written truth of the Bible. So what he's going to show us as we go through this little section is that the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, the Holy Spirit illuminates the scripture, and the Holy Spirit gives us the written word. That's inspiration. In fact, he's going to say he makes it known to us, revelation. He helps us to know and understand. That's illumination. And then he gives us a written truth that we are to teach. Notice verse 13, the things which we also speak, since we teach and speak, not the words of man, but the words of the Spirit is what he's really saying. That's the revelation or the word of God. So as we go through this little section, we're going to see those three words and those three key things, and that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals, that's revelation. The Holy Spirit illuminates, that's helping us to know, and the Holy Spirit inspires, giving us written revelation, and we'll talk about it. Look at verse 10, and I think in verse 10 we see the first thing, revelation. Notice verse 10. For to us God revealed them, the things of God, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now the first thing I want you to see is he's saying that the Holy Spirit reveals this stuff to us. He says the things that the eye can't see and the ear can't hear and the mind can't conceive and all of the stuff, the things of God which a normal person, a natural person, an unbelieving person can't get, he said he's revealed it to us. He's talking about those who believe. He says God reveals these things to us. That's called revelation. Revelation is God making himself known. God making himself and giving us truth. Now, he can give it to us in a lot of ways. For us in the New Testament, it's basically, us living in the church age, it's going to be the written revelation of the Bible. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But he says, but to us, God revealed him through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the things of God to us. It's just that simple. Notice the point that he makes, though, and this passage is not very long, and so if we get through early, we'll have time for questions and then pray, but I just want you to see the flow, and you have to see it sort of quickly to get the flow, because if you spend too long on one little word, all of a sudden you'll lose the flow of the passage. So he says, now here's what I want you to understand. For to us, God revealed them, these truths, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. He said, it is the Holy Spirit who reveals this to us. That's why we call it revelation. He makes God's plan known to us. When the Holy Spirit first convicts us, he convicts us of sin, righteousness, judgment. As a believer, the Holy Spirit reveals his word to us, reveals truth to us. Now notice this, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The Spirit is the one that knows the deep things of God. He's using it this way. He's saying, here's God the Father who knows everything, and the Holy Spirit searches everything that God knows, God the Father knows, and makes sure we know what God the Father knows. That's kind of the idea of what he's putting out there, and we'll see that. He knows those kind of things. How can we know them? How can you and I understand the truth of God's Word? How can we know about God's plan of salvation? How can we know the basic truths of this Christian life? I mean, let's face it. How is it that you can go to the Scripture, to God's Word, and begin to understand how it all fits together? It goes back to the Holy Spirit. He says it is revealed to us by the Spirit. Then he gives us a little play. He's saying, The Holy Spirit knows the things of God and gives it to us. He says, let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. He puts it simply. He says, just as being a human being, you know what other human beings think, then the Holy Spirit, being God, knows what God thinks. That's his point. And it's true. He says this, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? We might put it this way. Being a human being, being a person, you know what other people think. You know how other people feel. You know when somebody has their feelings hurt, you know how they feel because you've had your feelings hurt. You know when people think about certain things, you say, well, I've thought that same way as well. So the idea there is that as a person knows what another person thinks because we're people. And we can understand each other. We know how it feels to be embarrassed, or to be happy, or to be honored, to be hurt, be disappointed. So he says, how can anybody know what a man thinks unless you're a person? And then he says this, even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except who? The Spirit of God. He says, how can anybody know what the things of God are unless it's the Holy Spirit who knows it? So what he's really saying is, if how are we going to know the things of God, the only way you can know the things of God is the Holy Spirit's going to reveal it to you, because the Holy Spirit's God and he knows the things of God because he's God. Just like a human being knows the things of human beings because we're human beings, Holy Spirit, who's God, knows the things of God because he's God. And that's his point. So he says, Holy Spirit reveals everything to you, and the Holy Spirit knows it all because he's God, because he knows what God thinks because he's God. That's the bottom line. So how can anybody know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man's in him? Well, you can't. Well, even so, the thoughts of God nobody knows except who? The Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit relates the things of God to us because he knows the things of God because he's God. The very first point that he says is revelation. He makes and reveals things to us. The second word is that I want to put up is illumination. And this is where he helps us to understand. Notice verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We got the Holy Spirit so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Of course, we're talking about the Word of God. How do we know the Word of God? Because the Holy Spirit makes it known. That's called illumination, where the Holy Spirit makes it known. He says, now we've received not the spirit of the world. He says, this is not natural. This is not a fallen world. This is not the wisdom of man. This is not what this fallen world thinks. But from a positive standpoint, we have received the Spirit who is from God. Now, when do we get the Spirit who is from God? The moment we believe. Now, you remember the Holy Spirit has a ministry. As an unbeliever, you're going along doing your own thing, and he illuminates. He comes in there, and he convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and you put your faith in Christ. The moment you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and the Holy Spirit could look at you and say, now, I got a job. Here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to continue to reveal the things of God. I'm going to make known the things of God. I'm going to even give you the Word of God so that you can understand it. That's his plan. And so all Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is that there is a big contrast between an unbeliever and a believer. The unbeliever can't know the things of God. The believer can know the things of God because he's got the Holy Spirit who reveals the Scripture, who illuminates the Scripture, and who inspires the Scripture. That's his key. And we can stop right there and say, that's a great passage. Yeah, it is. And that's what he's talking about. There's a little bit more detail there. Notice what he says. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, not the things of this fallen world, but the Spirit who is from God. Every one of us in this room, by the grace of God, the moment you believed, you got the Holy Spirit. Bible says, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that's what he says. But we have the Spirit who's from God so that we may know. And I think that the word know there is to come to know. It's gnosko. It means to come to know. And it's the idea that the Holy Spirit illuminates it. Have you ever thought about that when you're by yourself and you're studying and you're looking at the passage and you're looking at God's Word and suddenly you go, wow, I see this. Wait a minute. This is how this fits. You just didn't figure that out. You didn't figure that out. This is revelation from God. This is the inspired word of God. This is the deep things of God. How are you going to know the deep things of God? Holy Spirit reveals it to you. The Holy Spirit makes it known to you. So as you study the scripture, as you dig it, as you listen to someone teach it in the power of the Holy Spirit, as you're there, you say, wait a minute. I'm putting this together. Last night we were doing our class, the 2-2 class, and we got to the very end and somebody raised a question about Jesus dying on the cross and paying for sin and all this. And so I raised this little question and I said, when did Jesus Christ pay for the sins of mankind? And one person said, well, I think when he died. I said, well, let's be careful. Think about this. And I taught the fact that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the payment for sin is what? It's separation from God. When did that happen? That happened when he took the sin of mankind on himself. That's when he said, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me. From 12 to 3, when everything became dark and Jesus took the sin of mankind upon himself, that's when he paid for the sins of the world. That's when he died spiritually. Because at the end, what does he say? There are two things he says right toward the end. One of them is, it is finished. What's finished? The payment for sin. He's not dead yet. Payment for sin's already made. Not physically dead yet. Payment for sin has been made. And then his last words. Anybody know what his last words were? Into your hands I commit my spirit. He's back in fellowship with God. See, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's taking the sins of mankind, paying the penalty for sin and being separated. And then at the very end, when he comes back and the sin debt has been paid and he says it is finished and he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. He goes back to the Father to be in fellowship with the Father. Sin debt's been paid. He dies physically and rises again so he can conquer death. And when I taught that last night, the reason I wanted to bring it tonight is when I taught that, you could see most of the people who had never really thought about that before go like this. Whoa, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit revealing, helping them see truth from God's word. And that's what happens when you study the Bible, either somebody helping you understand it, teaching it, or when you study it by yourself, the Holy Spirit illuminates truth and you go, yeah, he was separated and then it is finished and then he's back into fellowship with the Father and then he dies physically. Wow. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit illuminating truth from God's word. That's how it fits. So just remember, he says, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. You know where he's given to us at? He's given to us in the word. That's why he's going to go on in just a minute in verse 13, because verse 13 continues on. And we've seen, first of all, revelation. We've seen illumination. Verse 13 is going to give us the inspiration where he talks about the written truth. Notice what she says. So that we may know, illumination, the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, which is meaning we communicate, we tell others these truths, not in words taught by human wisdom. It's not words by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. He's talking about teaching God's word. And then if your Bible is like mine, it literally says combining spiritual with spiritual. Some Bibles put combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Does any of your Bible read that? Put in italics? Because the idea, the translators are saying, wait a minute, he's talking about giving us spiritual words from God. That's why he says things which we teach. This is called inspiration. Inspiration is God giving us truth in a written form. So all Paul is saying is, listen, natural man can't know the things of God, but the believing man can. And first of all, God illuminated the scripture. God revealed the truths. And then God gave us truths to be taught in a written form. Even though it doesn't use the word written form, it does have the idea of words taught. And then that's why our people who were translating the scripture went ahead and put in combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Because that's basically the meaning of the Greek. It just doesn't use those exact words. And so our translators put them in so it'll make sense for us. We have the written word of God to teach to others. Now, how in the world do we get the written word of God? It comes how? From the Holy Spirit. Who gave us the written revelation? The Holy Spirit inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration. That's written revelation. The Holy Spirit inspired people to write. If you go to 1 Peter, it says, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to give us the revelation. Revelation in written form is inspiration. So you have the Holy Spirit revealing the Word, illuminating the Word, and inspiring the Word. And he's saying, without that ministry, you can't know the things of God. With that ministry, you can know the things of God. I don't want to have to turn there, but let me just read something to you. In John 14, he's talking about Jesus is talking about what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to do, and he says this, "But when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, the Father will send him. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said." And then later on in John 16, verse 13, he says pretty much the same thing. He says, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth." So that when you study the Scripture, you go, wow. Now I know that the people he's writing to, he's actually telling some of these people that the Holy Spirit is going to come and use them to give written revelation, more revelation than they've had in the past. But for us, when we look at it, we realize that the Holy Spirit is illuminating the Scripture because the Scripture is complete. There's not going to be any more revelation. Not even going to be any more inspired Scripture. We got the whole thing. So the Holy Spirit helps us to put it together. And we get to teach it. Notice what he says. These things we speak. Not words taught by people, but words taught by the Spirit. So that's the inspiration of the Scripture. And the emphasis is that we teach it. We get to teach the Word of God so that people can understand it. So in reality, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take the truths of the Word of God and we're to proclaim them to other people. That's why I think it's so powerful that when you think about Scripture, that you're to study it. Because when you study the Bible in the power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to illuminate the Scripture. He's going to reveal the Scripture to you and you're going to be able to understand it. Then you take this inspiration, this written revelation that the Holy Spirit has illuminated to you and helped you put it together, and you so speak to others so that they can understand it. We're not talking about the gift of teaching. We're talking about believers who communicate the truth of God's Word to others. That's different than the gift of teaching. There are certain people who have the gift of teaching. They get to do, in a sense, public teaching and that kind of thing. But all of us have the privilege and the right to take the things that we've been taught and entrust these to others. That's the plan. And so all we're seeing is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let me give you a little review. In verse 10, he says the Holy Spirit reveals. That's revelation. Verse 12, he says the Holy Spirit makes known. That's illumination. In verse 13, he says the Holy Spirit gives us this stuff to teach. That's inspiration. And it's powerful. My dream and plan and goal, and you know, I talked to some of the guys in our Wednesday morning group this morning about all of us knowing that we have a great privilege and responsibility to take the things we know and entrust these to other people. Entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others. And so a challenge to all of us in this room is, whatever aspects of God's Word you know, are you communicating these truths to other people? Are you helping others understand these same truths? It's our responsibility to do that. You may say, well, I just barely know the gospel. Okay, present the gospel to somebody. You say, well, I just know a few things about this. Okay, present what you know. As you continue to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit who's illuminating the Scripture for you, as you're getting taught and understanding and putting the truths together, you have the privilege and responsibility to pass these truths on to other people. The truth is, we should have, if we want to use the term 412 groups, like a 412 Bible study or whatever, we should have 100 of those in this church. That all of you who have been taught the Scripture, you should have your own group of 4 to 5 to 6 to 8 to whatever people that you're communicating and teaching truth to them. And then some of them ought to have their own groups. That's the plan. That's why 2 Timothy is so powerful. Take the things you've been taught and entrust these to faithful people who are to teach others. There's a four channel there. Paul says, Timothy, take the things I've taught you. You teach these people so they can teach these people. That's the plan. So here's my question. Who are you communicating the truth to? What other believers are you taking and helping them come to know the truths of God's Word? And if you say, well, I'm not. Well, you need to. And if you need help, that's what we're all here for. Make sure you are understanding truth, and as you study the Scripture, and then say, JB, I'll take a 412. Give me the 412 stuff. I'll take some people through the 412. If you don't want the 412, we'll give you another study. We'll get you something so that you can help communicate the truth to people. Because that's what he's saying doing. He's saying the natural man doesn't get all this stuff. But God has revealed it to us. It's revelation. And we've received it so we can know it. That's illumination. And we speak these things. That's inspiration. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now from this, he goes back to his kind of key statement. And that is, unbelieving people, natural people can't get this. Only believers can get this. Notice what he says. Verse 14. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're praised spiritually. They're spiritually appraised. He said, the natural man, literally the Greek word is soulish. We'd say the unbelieving person, the natural person, the person who comes in this world dead and trespasses sins. He says, the natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Well, they're foolishness to him. Why? Because he can't understand them. Why? Because he's dead. If the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not affecting him in that sense, if he doesn't come to know Christ, he is not going to be able to understand the things of God. And he says, but he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. So unbelievers can't grasp it. Then he makes the contrast. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. The spiritual one here is the one who has the Holy Spirit, who is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. He appraises. The word appraisal means to know. Knows things. Knows all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no one. He says nobody can really know exactly all these things, but the Holy Spirit is helping the believer, who is the spiritual one because he has the power of the Holy Spirit, help him to understand. So the unbeliever can't understand. The believer can understand. Now, I want to show you something, because when you get into chapter 3, and it's going to be several weeks before we get back to chapter 3, because in the next couple of weeks, we've got our annual congregational meetings on the 7th and the 14th. So we won't be in 1 Corinthians 3 for a little bit. But I want to give you something that in 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, he gives us three types of people. And here they are. There's the unbeliever, which is the natural or the soulish one. There's the believers who are spiritual and the believers who are fleshly. Notice, Verse 14 says the natural man. Verse 15 says the spiritual man. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, I could not speak to you as spiritual, but to as men of flesh. That's the word carnal. Fleshly men, as infants in Christ. And in fact, he even says that you're fleshly, verse 3. So basically, there are three types of belief, three types of people that he's going to mention in this book. There's the unbeliever, which he calls, the natural person, the unbeliever, the soulish unbeliever, who can't know the things of God. The believer, who is the spiritual believer, who's controlled by the Holy Spirit, living in God's power. And the believer, who is fleshly, they're called brothers because they're believers, but they're controlled by the flesh. He's going to go into that when he gets into chapter 3, because he's going to say to these believers, you're fleshly instead of spiritual. You should be growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, but you're not, because instead of living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're living by the power of the what? The flesh. And that's what he's going to talk about. But that's into chapter 3, but I just wanted you to see how that ties together. Look back at verse, and by the way, let me just say this one point so you can understand something. That unless the Holy Spirit does the work, and I mentioned this, unless the Holy Spirit convicts, and the Holy Spirit does convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, if the Holy Spirit was not convicting people, no one would come to know Christ. Because we're all like sheep going astray, doing our own thing. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That whole aspect. And then people respond or not respond. And you've heard me tease this many times. In fact, I got an email from a guy just 2 days ago talking about that, because he's heard me teach God's side, man's side of salvation. From the God's side of salvation, God chooses us and brings us to himself. From the man's side of salvation, you have to believe. And they're both true. And a lot of people get hung up on one side or the other, but they're both true. And a guy wrote me an email and said that he had gone to a church where they were only hitting one side and rejecting the other side. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work, because then you have to leave out a whole bunch of passages from the Bible. And just say, well, those don't really count. No, they all count. That's how you have to look at the scripture. Verse 15, he who is spiritual appraises all things. The one who has the power of the Holy Spirit is able to understand the things that the natural man can't. And then he says this in verse 16. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? And the way he's raising that question, he's saying this, you know, nobody can know the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him unless what? Unless they have the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, but we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's what he's talking about. So he raises the question, and he gives the quote from Isaiah 40 when he says, who's not known the mind of the Lord? and that he will instruct him. Well, nobody does except the ones who have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. We do know the mind of the Lord, that he can instruct him. So it's powerful. As believers, we can know the things of God. As unbelievers, we cannot know as unbelievers cannot know the things of God, and the Holy Spirit has the ministry. What we've seen in this passage, in the flow, is that the message that Paul proclaimed, the cross, the death and resurrection of Christ, the wisdom of God, is not able to be understood by the unbeliever. It's not able to know it. Why? Because it's taught by the Spirit. But as believers, we are able to understand. The Holy Spirit has convicted us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit has revealed the Scripture. The Holy Spirit has illuminated the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit has given us inspiration, which is the written revelation for us to know and to teach to others. That's the powerful passage. And there's a lot in there. Let me tell you, that's a hard passage. Just read it by yourself. It's a pretty hard passage. There's a lot of things there, and I think that's the flow. Let me give you a couple of applications, and we'll open up for any questions. First of all, understand the difference between believers and unbelievers, as this passage says. A, that unbelievers can't know God or understand the gospel. They can't. Unbelievers are dead in sin. It says the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't know them. B, believers can know God, both at salvation, because the Holy Spirit convicts us and we believe, and we can know him through salvation, and we can know the deep things, really, because of the Holy Spirit. Now, that helps us in a very practical way when you decide to share your faith, that you must realize that stay on the issue. When you're talking to someone who does not know Christ as Savior, what is the issue you must stay on? The grace message of salvation and the whole message that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that he died and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. Since the Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin because they have not what? Believed. When we get off on other tangents, like Genesis and Jonah and this and why does this and where does it, that's not the issue that the Holy Spirit is convicting them of. So since they cannot understand the things of God except what the Holy Spirit is convicting them of, we must stay on those issues when we share our faith. Okay, because the Holy Spirit convicts them and then draws them and all of that. Now, 2B, unbelievers are to know and apply and to teach the truth. Excuse me, did I say unbelievers? I mean believers are to know, apply, and teach the truths of God's Word. You know why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit who reveals. That's revelation. We have the Holy Spirit who makes known. That's illumination. And we have the Holy Spirit who gives us the written revelation, inspiration for us to know and to teach. And so I think two things we do. Number one is we dig the Word. I don't know if I have that. We do. Okay, we dig the Word. That means you study it. And of course, how can you study the Scripture? How do you study the Scripture when you get ready to study it? Do you just open the Bible and say, I think I'm going to study it? Or do you say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to illuminate this. Help me to study it. Let me see it in its context. Let me put it together. Show me the truths of your Word as I study. You should do that. It's the Holy Spirit inside you that's going to illuminate the Scripture. And he'll use other teachers, he'll use books, he'll use the Word, he'll use it all to help you put together truth. So dig the Word. And then B, teach others. Take the things you've been taught and teaching others. Let me just challenge you. In your life, whatever you know from God's Word, as you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you should begin to pray even tonight and say, Lord, put in my life, help me think in my life, what people, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, that I know need to continue to grow, and use me to help them understand these truths. And if you were to say to me, but JB, I don't even know what to teach him. Okay, if you've had the 412, I'll give you the 412 stuff. If you hadn't had the 412, take the 412. Make sure you've got the foundational truths that you can pass on to people. That's the whole purpose of a local body. A local body, we're to equip the saints to do the ministry. So if you're not being equipped and trained, we're failing. So we must equip and train you so you can equip and train others. That's the plan, so you can teach others. So how do you view your life? Sharing the message of Jesus Christ, knowing the Word, passing it on to others. As the Holy Spirit fulfills his ministry, may we be used by God to see all of these things, see people come to know Christ and then grow. So sometime take in the power of the Holy Spirit, you look over this passage, and as the Holy Spirit illuminates it, you see how you think the passage flows and fits as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Lord, we thank you that as we realize that the unbeliever, he can't know the things of God. In fact, they're foolishness to him because they really come by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, brings people to himself. And when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit not only reveals the word to us, but illuminates the truth of the Bible and gives us inspiration, which is written revelation that we're to know and to teach and pass on. So I pray, Lord, that all of us will take the great advantage by using the ministry of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us to teach us and to show us and to illuminate and to reveal and to help us understand so that we can pass truth on to other people. Thank you for this ministry. Lord, we realize unbelievers cannot know these things. And so we should share the truth of Jesus Christ with them because the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But as believers, we know that the Holy Spirit is there to inspire, to illuminate, and to reveal. May we do all, may we rest in the Lord in all of these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.